Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Turmoil at NPR as critics push to end federal funding for public broadcasting. Today, NPR CEO Vivian Schiller out after her top fundraiser was secretly taped disparaging Tea Party members and more. The House has already voted to end funding. It's on the line now in the Senate. This hour on Point, a sting and turmoil at NPR and the question on the floor, should public funding go on? If you haven't seen the video of the sting, it's posted at our website, onpointradio.org, or on our Facebook page, On Point Radio, and you can join this conversation. Is it time to cut the cord of federal funding for NPR, for public broadcasting? Where would that leave the American news media, the American conversation? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Wow, what a day. Joining me first from Arlington, Virginia, is Keech Hagee, media reporter for Politico. Keech, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
First, the latest. We heard it. We're hearing it in the news all over, but on Vivian Schiller, the CEO of NPR, we saw NPR's own media reporter tweeting earlier today, NPR News has just ousted CEO Vivian Schiller in the wake of the video sting. What's happened there, Keech?
Pretty incredible news. It just came across this morning. She resigned, and the board accepted her resignation. But as you mentioned, David Folkenflik said that, you know, how that really played out was the board pushed her out. Vivian Schiller has been in some kind of political trouble ever since the Juan Williams firing a few months ago, and she managed to keep her job through that, and Ellen Weiss was sort of ousted instead. But now it seems like, you know, the other shoe has finally dropped.
So she's gone, she's resigned, and it comes in the aftermath of this kind of secret taping, sting tapes released onto the web yesterday morning. Describe what that circumstance was, Keech, and what was portrayed.
Well, it was organized by a video provocateur, James O'Keefe, who has become pretty famous now. He was the pimp who went in to film the sting on Acorn that resulted in them losing their federal funding. He's done a bunch of other video stings like this, some more successful than others, but this one was two of his actors, fellow activists, posing as members of a Muslim philanthropy that wanted to give NPR $5 million. And so,
or was thinking about it anyway. They
right.
were purporting.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
It's all fictional, but... Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All these things are these sort of fictional situations. Mm-hmm. So there was a lunch at Cafe Milano, which is a place where lots of, you know, Washington folks go for their power lunches, and it was secretly taped. So Ron Schiller, who is the head of fundraising at NPR, another NPR executive, were sort of taped talking very candidly about all kinds of things, but especially disparaging conservatives, disparaging the Tea Party, calling them racist, and saying most damningly that NPR would be better off without federal funding.
Keats, let's listen to just a little bit. This is the tape, again, from this kind of sting provocateur outfit, Ron Schiller in a cafe in Washington, Georgetown. Here's what he, some of what they have him on tape saying. And, of course, these are edited. This is not the entire lunch. This is a group with a very clear kind of agenda. But nevertheless, this was the senior vice president. He's out now, was headed out already, they say, but effective immediately as of yesterday. For development, president of NPR Foundation, Ron Schiller, saying the Tea Party in this luncheon setting has been taken over by the Republican Party. In the tape, you'll also hear the voice of one of the fictitious donors.
The Republican Party has been hijacked by this group that is
radical, racist, Islamophobic, Tea Party people.
And not just Islamophobic, but really xenophobic. I mean, basically, they believe it's sort of white, middle America, gun-toting. I mean, it's pretty scary.
Not just Islamophobic, he says there, the NPR official now out, but really xenophobic basically, he says they believe in sort of white middle America gun-toting. I mean, it's pretty scary. Of course, you can hear at the same time him being fed lines there. And you mentioned by the provocateur, but nevertheless, there he is. Also talking about NPR's funding. Here again, I know it's hard to hear, but this is all over the place. You can find it at our website. Ron Schiller saying NPR in the long run would be better off without federal funding. He also describes the challenge that would go along with that, but here he is.
Well, frankly,
you have to walk a bit of a fine line.
It is very clear that we would be better off in the long run without federal funding. And the challenge right now is that if we lost it altogether, we would have a lot of stations go dark.
A lot of stations go dark. And that is on the line in Washington right now. Keach, first of all, on Ron Schiller, describe exactly his status at this point. Is he gone?
He's gone. Strangely, he actually had resigned last week to take a job at the Aspen Institute. And he was going to leave in May, but then, you know, just sort of a symbolic move, I think, last night, he apologized and resigned effective immediately.
What's the status of public broadcasting funding now on Capitol Hill? Where does that consideration stand?
Well, the Senate is going to hold debate today on a House bill that includes NPR funding cuts, but that's not expected to actually pass. Neither side really has the votes, and I think today's debate is going to sort of start the process of negotiations. Last week, Senator Jim DeMint and Senator Tom Coburn introduced a bill in the Senate to do away with public broadcasting funding. And, you know, DeMint said today in a statement that I don't care, you know, who NPR fires or whatever, I still want to defund them. So they're not going to, this is not going to appease them at all.
And the CEO, Vivian Schiller, now gone. What has NPR said about the importance of this funding to its operations?
Well, Vivian Schiller actually spoke in Washington on Monday before the National Press Club and made a very clear case that NPR needs federal funding, that on balance, when you put together the local stations and the central NPR, it's about 10% of the money, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's really important to the rural stations.
2% directly to NPR in Washington, but 10% when you put it all together, including
exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, because the member stations pay fees back to NPR, so it's quite a complicated funding pie. But her point was that we absolutely need this money. Because of the smaller stations who really depend on it, you know, as much as 20 or 25% of some of the budgets of the member stations comes from the federal government. But then also, I mean, she made the point, this is part of who we are as NPR, to be public, and we have no desire to not be. So that was, you know, exactly the opposite of what Ron Schiller was caught saying on tape, which was why it was so damaging.
When this comes down to negotiations, assuming you're right, the vote goes down in the Senate today, it may have already gone down when some listeners hear us. And if it gets into negotiation, I don't know, what's the inside dope on what people are expecting there? Could this really entirely go away? The White House budget actually has a small increase for public broadcasting in the next fiscal year.
Right. I mean, Vivian Schiller said that this was the greatest threat that public broadcasting has ever faced. And, you know, public broadcasting has been attacked many times before, in 95 and 2005, many times. It's a favorite target of Republicans, but you know, she said this was the toughest fight it has had so far, and these recent events only make it tougher.
Wow, Keach Hagey with Politico joining us from Arlington, Virginia. Keach, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Keach mentioned Vivian Schiller, now ousted as CEO of NPR, giving a speech at the National Press Club in Washington on just Monday. Here she is talking about NPR's growing audience and reporting staff. Let's listen, saying it will only get better in the years to come. Here's Vivian Schiller.
At NPR, we have charted a vision for the future, one built around high-quality journalism, smart use of social media, one that combines strong local, national, and global reporting. It is a work in progress and always will be, but our growth in audience tells us we're on the right track.
Well, She's out the door now. There's been controversy there ever since Juan Williams was abruptly let go a few months ago after he had talked about his discomfort in the company of Muslims. Yesterday, Juan Williams told Fox News that the sting on former NPR senior executive Ron Schiller shows how the NPR leadership, quote-unquote, prostitute themselves for money. Here's Juan Williams.
I think it's a real look inside what NPR executives really think. And, for me, this is a revelation in the sense that here they are saying exactly how they view the world. And what's incredible to me is here they are doing business with people who identify themselves as members of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, that's Juan Williams. He's gone. Vivian Schiller, CEO of NPR. As of today, she's gone. John Fund joins us right now from New York, columnist for The Wall Street Journal, where he writes On the Trail. John Fund has been a frequent critic of NPR and its federal funding. John, what do you see unfolding here? Thanks for joining us.
Well, first of all, my first job in journalism was actually at NPR affiliate KXPR. I'm a loyal NPR listener. I've even given money to NPR. I just believe that there is something deeply disturbing about the current management of NPR. And frankly, federal funding is an impediment to a more successful, more independent NPR.
The current management is now being radically changed. Does that change your view of what should happen here?
Well, when you have an organization that in the last 2 months has seen its senior vice president for news resign, its CEO resign, and its head of fundraising and its own foundation resign, you know that there's a serious problem, and it probably goes beyond just those three managers.
But so there's problem in management, but is this a funding issue or a political issue?
It's both. Look, if NPR wants to keep federal funding, I think it needs to get ahead of this story. The BBC in Britain got ahead of the story a couple years ago when there were all kinds of allegations of media bias. They conducted an internal review of all of their coverage, and what they found is that the BBC had failed to promote proper debate on major political issues because of the inherent liberal culture of its staff. It talked about a groupthink mentality. It had executives of the BBC admit that they were broadcast images.
John, we've got a break right here. We'll come back to it. Of course, that's the BBC. Do you think funding will be gone in 6 months?
Unless they follow the BBC's example and conduct a major internal house cleaning, the answer is yes.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about a sting on NPR. NPR CEO Vivian Schiller out. And the question before Congress, should public funding go on? I've been talking with John Fund, columnist for The Wall Street Journal and a longtime critic of NPR and its funding. Joining us right now as well from New York is Michael Massing, contributing editor for the Columbia Journalism Review and frequent contributor to the New York Review of Books. Michael Massing, thank you very much for being here today.
Good to be here, Tom.
Clearly a moment of enormous turmoil for NPR, but the bottom line question here is whether public funding should go on, and there is now, well and truly, an effort to cut it off. How do you look at that, Michael?
Well, I think NPR is an invaluable resource for the country, particularly now at a time when so many commercial news organizations are facing major cutbacks, bureaus are being closed around the world and across the country, a time when cable news is given over to so much cacophony. I think NPR is pretty much an oasis of very solid global stretching reporting. And it's actually, I think, an extremely good investment. If you look at the sums going into it, I believe under $100 million a year from the government. And what we get back is this network with two shows a day with so many people around the globe. And John Fund himself said he listens to it and likes it. So it strikes me interesting that, obviously NPR has made major missteps, both with the Juan Williams affair and now with this sting. But I don't hear the sort of critique of NPR's what goes on the air. I mean, all this management and behind the scenes, which is disturbing in some ways. I mean, I don't see how it's actually affected the product. And I even went online, looked at some blogs today, and I don't know, what is the critique of NPR? I actually find it to be a very professional and pretty even-handed news organization.
Well, I mean, certainly on the right, there is a critique that it's liberal, left-leaning. NPR has long denied that and pointed to listener statistics to back them up on that. John, represent there. I mean, you yourself have made a critique of NPR's politics. Are you just trying to, knock it into a right-wing box here?
Well, look, I listen to NPR, but I do think it's biased on key things. A senior NPR executive told me recently there's a tendency to groupthink with too many staff inhabiting a shared space and comfort zone. They're in a bubble. Their metal radio receivers do not pick up certain stations. Vin Weber, who was on the board of NPR for many years, he was brought on for some ideological balance. He told me that he left the board in complete disgust because he felt that he could not penetrate the groupthink at NPR, which led to a stifling conformity on certain issues. And that was reflected in what Mr. Schiller said about coverage of the Middle East and other things. If you don't believe NPR is biased, of course you can talk to its listeners. But the listeners are a self-selected group of people. If you talk to people outside, look at the American Journalism Review. The American Journalism Review has a searing critique of NPR in last week's issue, discussing both its professional failings and the fact that it seems not to be able to understand its audience or comprehend middle America. So there are people out there who understand that NPR has to clean up its act. If it doesn't clean up its act, it is not deserving of federal funding. And I frankly think that Mr. Schiller was right. When he said NPR would be better off in the long run without federal funding, he mentioned all of the liberal foundations that often don't give as much to NPR as they could because they know their federal funding is there. I think NPR would be stronger financially if it finally cut the federal ties, cleaned up its act, and actually appeal to people on the basis of the quality of its product, which often is very good, but frankly does not need federal funding. It's only 10% of the total.
You say out of touch with middle America, but tens of millions of people tune in every week. And, I mean, I have seen the surveys that say they're from right across the political spectrum. Are you sure, if you search your soul, John, that this is not about wanting a more general right-wing tilt to the American media? I mean, you know, how do you judge what's vertical here?
I think if you look at the firing of Juan Williams, you look at the comments by Mr. Schiller, who was the head of their foundation, if you look at the internal comments that I've heard from NPR executives, NPR is out of touch with much of middle America. Just think how many more listeners it would have if it presented a more balanced...
Who else has 30 million listeners a week? I mean, that's a lot.
More.
Huh? I mean, that's about as big as it gets. But, Michael, let me put it to you. NPR out of touch with middle America, or, you know, too left-leaning and therefore jerk the funding. What do you say to the argument, Michael?
Well, those are actually two different things. And, you know, the point that NPR is out of touch with middle America is, to me, a more interesting argument than that it has a left-wing bias, which I think is more of an historical perception on its part.
But who is middle America then? I mean, I've got all kinds of people I know who, you know, we get truck drivers every day calling in here. Is that not middle America?
NPR does a better job than most. But I think, like, I mean, I have long critiqued sort of East Coast news organizations for ignoring the middle of the country on many issues. I mean, for a long time, religion was not covered that well. And I think, you know, John saying they should look, do a review and so on. I mean, all that's valuable, but I think that is actually not the point. I think the point is that people on, in the conservative camp have long been disgruntled with NPR, and they see this as an opportunity to deliver it a blow. I mean, if it were just about the money, it would not be that interesting a debate. It's much more about a perception that NPR is, that there's some bias there. And I keep hearing about Juan Williams and now this, but it doesn't get at the programming. I still have not heard anything convincing that shows such a significant bias that somehow the relatively small amount of money that we invest that sustains 700-plus stations around the country is a terrible investment.
Let's go to our listeners, see what they've got to say from Middle America and beyond. Charleston, South Carolina. Beth, you're on the air, Beth.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
It's ironic this comes up after something I heard on NPR on Monday. One of the congressmen, the freshman congressman from Colorado Springs, was talking about doing away with the funding, and that's before all this sting business has hit the air. But I live in a very rural area that and I live on disability. I can't afford a satellite TV and everything. And NPR is my sole source for news. And if the funding were cut, I'm afraid I would be without any news at all.
Even now, Beth, in the time when everything's on the internet and there's a million channels on cable?
Yes, sir. I don't have access to any of that. And NPR is always, whenever I have had a chance to compare NPR's news output to going to visit and others with that have TV and all, I've always felt that NPR was more even-handed in the way it presents the news.
Well, Lord knows we get whacked from the left here just about as much as from the right, in my own personal experience anyway. One more, Nashville, Tennessee. Brian, you're on the air. What do you think, Brian?
Number one, I think that nobody dies if we cut off the funding for NPR. Nobody is going to be without services. Number two is when you acknowledge your support for NPR, you never acknowledge the taxpayers. And number three, it is now a luxury that the country really cannot afford. Number four, as far as even-handed, that's smoking funny cigarettes to say it's even-handed.
A luxury we can't afford. I mean, it's pretty small compared to the big hole out there, but I appreciate your call and your perspective, Brian. I mean, it is a time when budgets are tough, but is this really about the money, John Fund?
Look, NPR is a valuable resource. It needs to clean up its act. 90% of its money comes from foundations and listeners. I do believe that a revamped, reinvigorated NPR that does a complete audit of its coverage, rethinks its approach, can raise even more money from foundations and from its listeners. I believe there are a lot of people who would give to NPR if it actually demonstrated a more inclusive view of America and changed its programming to reflect that, not in ideological terms, but in cultural, non-elitist terms.
Michael Massing, what about that? I mean, you've got Fox News and everything else out there. The polls are pretty well covered. Do you see a place for NPR not just to change management? That's happening. But to, you know, audit and change its fundamental, poll star here? Or is that just...
Audit is a difficult thing. This actually illustrates part of the problem of getting the federal money, which is the tremendous political pressure that NPR faces. I think actually PBS faces it even more. I mean, if you watch the news programming on public broadcasting, it's pretty much neutered. NPR, I think, does a good job of maintaining a good quality news operation in the face of this, but it can always improve. And I would actually like to say, I think it's actually done a better job in recent years. I think NPR has responded. That caller from South Carolina, I mean, her station would probably be the type that would go under if NPR did not get federal financing. And people all over the country in rural areas and out-of-the-way towns that, again, do not have the people there who do not have the resources like that caller to good quality news, and particularly local news, with all these local papers folding or cutting back. Often the public stations are the only places that are doing any local news.
Let me get a call from Philip in Boston. Philip, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what do you think?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
You know, I think that it would be a huge, huge mistake nationally to get rid of public financing for what I think is probably the only independent form of journalism that we have left in this country.
Even as small a percentage of its overall funding as that is?
Exactly. I think that it would be a huge mistake because...
Why?
Well, you have Fox News, you have CNN, and there are a lot of stations that are going to go under in the middle of the country, which is, it's simply become dominated by a sort of a Fox News type mentality.
Let me tell you, that's not just the middle of the country. It's all over, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very frightening. You know, we already have the Supreme Court has already ruled that corporations can influence our elections. Now, corporations, news organizations that are dominated by corporate advertising, who are going to have their material and their content cater towards corporate advertising, are going to dominate the American voice. The thing about good quality journalism is that it gives the true story. You have, you know, you have a reporter in Libya, giving you what's happening on the ground there. I hate to say it, but you don't see Anderson Cooper, you know, in the trenches and in the in kind of the that section of the world.
Well, let's be fair. Anderson Cooper got roughed up in Cairo, but I take your point, and certainly we salute those NPR reporters who are all over the world in Libya right now in harm's way. You say keep it coming, Philip, and I appreciate your call. Let me bring another voice in here from a community that has got to be pretty rattled today. Mark Vogelzang joins us right now from Buffalo, New York. He's a station manager at NPR affiliate WBFO in Buffalo. Now, he was elected to the NPR board, served for two terms from 2001 to 2008, so he's been right in the middle of all that. He was interim president of the NPR Foundation prior to the hiring of Ron Schiller, who is now out after the sting. He's former president of Vermont Public Radio. Mark Vogelzang, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
Rough day. What are you thinking as a public radio station manager, and what are you hearing?
Well, this has been a huge, huge distraction for those of us at stations, both our member stations and, of course, our PBS colleagues, our public television colleagues. You know, the management of NPR should not be in the press. And the comments of the last few days and then over the course of the last 6 months undermine the credibility of what we do best, which is NPR journalism. So the people who really pay the price, I feel, I mean, we're furious about it because
who's we in this case, Mark? Who's we?
The reporters, the editors, the staffers at member stations are furious about it. The managers at member stations all across the country are furious about it. And frankly, the people inside NPR who do all the great work day in and day out, the editors, producers, engineers at your station, my station, they're the ones who end up feeling embarrassed and hurt and angry over this really silly behavior.
Vivian Schiller, the CEO of NPR yesterday, is out as of today. Does that solve or begin to solve that management problem you're pointing to?
Well, I think she lost credibility and the ability to do her job, and that's a board of directors question. And as a former board member, I think that's where you always start. You say, you know, do we have confidence in our CEO to lead the organization? And I think with these missteps, it was clear that the board did not have the confidence in Vivian to do her work.
Well, she's gone. Do you have confidence that the Congress will not go ahead and cut NPR's funding? And what would that mean? Is that a big deal or is it a small deal?
No, it's a huge deal. And we absolutely support continued funding for public television and public radio. In the case of Buffalo, WBFO, and our colleagues across town, WNED Public TV, you know, we receive about $250,000, just somewhere about 12-15% of our operating budget. It would be a very tough situation. I think it would force us to do things that we haven't considered or haven't been able to do before. So there may be some, you know, as your guests earlier have said, there may be some restructuring that needs to happen. But frankly, it's the stations who are at risk in rural communities. You know, our minority Hispanic, the Indian, the Alaskan communities, they're the only radio stations in those towns. And there isn't a structure to really support them outside a CPB-funded structure.
Mark, stand by. Let me get one more call here before the break, if
sure.
I may. Joe in Mitchell, South Dakota. Thanks for calling, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What are you up to, Joe?
Driving eastbound on I-90, coming out of Medford, Oregon, headed for Kentucky with a load off. I just wanted to I think NPR is great like it is. When you listen to it going across the country like I do.
Are you a truck driver? Is that what I see here, Joe? You're driving a big rig or what?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Seven days. I take about a weekend off a month.
Okay.
But I get to listen to NPR across the country. You know, I'm not key to one. I'm a member of a couple of different areas. But it's different wherever you go. They've done a wonderful job of tailoring it to the local community, and it is the voice of non-commercial. They have about the right amount of public funds, I think. And, you know, I would rather see congressmen do without their salary than have NPR lose its funding.
Okay, there's priorities on the road in Mitchell, South Dakota. Joe, thank you for calling us.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about NPR in trouble. A sting on NPR out on the web yesterday. You can see it at our website, onpointradio.org. Today, the CEO of NPR out, ousted, NPR itself reporting, it's a media reporter, David Folkenflik, by the NPR board. Funding for all of public broadcasting, television included, really on the line on Capitol Hill right now, and one big mess. Of course, we've got a mess in many parts of the American media, so what should be done here? We're looking at whether public funding for NPR should go or not. John Fund has joined us. He's a columnist with the Wall Street Journal. He says no, and let's dig in and see what's wrong here. Michael Massing is with us from New York, contributing editor for the Columbia Journalism Review, contributor to the New York Review of Books, a big supporter of public broadcasting. And from NPR affiliate member station WBFO in Buffalo, New York, Mark Vogelzang is with us. He's been on the board of NPR until 2008, been right in the middle of things, and says, wow, they need a relief from all the sort of bumps in the road coming out from NPR Management Central. Ron Schiller caught in a sting organized by James O'Keefe, who also went after Acorn, among several others. Of course, he was arrested for trying to get into a senator's office and tap the phones there, I guess, been in the middle of all kinds of things. Is that the new form of American journalism? But he did get the head of NPR fundraising on tape. This was Ron Schilling talking about all kinds of stuff. Now, Schilling had already been out, apparently, or headed out on his way to the Aspen Institute. The latest I'm reading online there, the Aspen Institute saying, well, no, he will not be joining the Aspen Institute as planned. Maybe a little too much baggage there. The tape online and on the air today of that lunch in Washington. Let's hear a little bit more of it right here. Here's Ron Schiller. He was senior vice president at NPR until yesterday, accusing the Republican Party of being anti-intellectual. In this tape, you'll hear the voice of the fictitious Muslim, potential Muslim donor, Ibrahim Kassam. Schiller first.
Now I'll talk personally as opposed to wearing my NPR hat. It feels to me as though there's a real anti-intellectual move on the part of a significant part of the Republican Party. You know, in my personal opinion, liberals today might be more educated, fair, and balanced than...
I like it when you take your NPR hat off.
Of course they did. They were there for a sting, and they got it. And now a Republican minority in the House has already voted to let the funding go. I mean, John, Michael, Mark, we've got all kinds of response here. People saying, you know, hey, so long, cut the cord. Here's Bob who says, I will boost my donation to help make up the difference. There's another Joseph in Wisconsin saying, what's the controversy? Seems to him that the description of the Tea Party is pretty accurate. Misinformed? Check. Racist? Check. Weirdly evangelical? Ron Schilling's words. Check, and right on down the line. Maybe that's the kind of listener, John, you're saying is just in one camp, but we're hearing from across the board here. Mark, what are you hearing from other station managers today? Mark Vogelzang.
I think, Tom, absolutely, and let me just correct, it's Ron Schiller, not Schilling.
Yes, Schiller, excuse me.
And here in Buffalo, our Vermont Public Radio folks, our stations across the country, you know, a lot of my colleagues, very upset about the handling of this situation. I think we're glad to that at least this change in management has happened. We're disappointed, of course, that anything had to happen at all, but we're going to right the ship, and I think the strength of public radio and the strength of our friends at public television will carry us on. I mean, it isn't a small
number. You don't think the funding is going away despite the fact the House has already voted that way?
Let me. I can't predict what's going to happen in Washington. We would believe that this is a worthy and appropriate use of federal funds to support public broadcasting, just like in any other westernized country where far more than we give here in our country in taxpayer dollars to public broadcasting is there. But let me tell you what we did in Vermont. Here's the path we took when I was president of Vermont Public Radio after the last Newt Gingrich threat for federal funding. I had board members who were both Republicans and Dems, and they were all on that board of Vermont Public Radio, a statewide network, 10 transmitters, 25,000 subscribers. So we talked at length about accepting federal funding. The Republicans said, well, why do you need federal funding on my board? And the others on the board were saying, well, Congress tries to influence the federal funding that does come in, the programming and the journalism with their strings attached. So we decided to raise money locally in Vermont. And over 5 years, we built a rainy day fund, a permanent endowment to keep Vermont Public Radio independent. That may be the model for the future for others. I know that's what we did in Vermont. And maybe we could do that nationally, sort of a permanent trust for public broadcasting. But,
and walk away from federal funding? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying walk away from it. I think it's an important element of what we do. But if, and I stress the word if it happens, we need to be ready to figure out what to do if that happens. This is a serious threat, our most significant threat ever to public TV and radio.
Holly in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Holly, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be on the air with you.
You too.
I just wanted to say that this idea that continued federal funding for public radio is a luxury we can't afford is absurd. If we can afford the defense spending when we're spending money on defense that even the military is saying, you know, we don't need this and we don't need that, then this idea that this is where we need to cut. No, I mean, this is political retaliation, and I just, you know, NPR, we did kind of shoot ourselves in the foot there, you know.
But is NPR out of touch, as John Fund says here? What do you think, Holly?
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. That we're out of touch? No, I don't think so. This idea, I mean, this is quality programming, and it's in-depth reporting, and we have plenty of programs on NPR where, I mean, I think there's balance. These are programs that look at not just the news events, but what these events mean. This idea that all programming on NPR is biased in a liberal way, I don't really think that's true.
Holly, I appreciate your call very much. I'm going to take it to John and Michael, Mark here. A couple more for us. Brian in Augusta, Georgia. Brian, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think?
Anyway, I guess my comments, I come from a conservative standpoint, so I guess you could hold that against me.
Not at all.
But in any case, I guess from an ideological standpoint, I guess from what I heard from Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, a couple of weeks ago, they did a poll of, you know, your contributors, and most of them seem to be pretty conservative. So I know, I guess that's something to consider. And also,
most of our contributors are pretty conservative? Are you saying?
Excuse me, liberal, excuse me. Most of your contributors are pretty liberal, pardon me.
I mean, I don't know if you listen here every day, Brian, but we work awfully hard to get the whole spectrum on the air here, and I hope you hear that.
Oh, yeah, actually, I was listening, I believe it was Monday or the other day, where they were talking about defunding Planned Parenthood, and you brought in a lady from Susan B. Anthony list, so I was pretty glad about that, at least that you were able to, you know, present the other viewpoint.
Yeah, Brian, I've got more calls here, but I appreciate yours. I don't know if I want to be accounted by Bill O'Reilly, but anyway, Bill in New Haven, Connecticut. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I happen to agree with what Schiller said in that covert tape that was made.
Which part?
That NPR would do better without the government funding. I think the hubbub reflects sort of the culture of political correctness. And I have a perspective that NPR is pretty much down the middle, because you look at the corporate funding, ADM sponsored the NewsHour on TV for years and probably still does.
Archer Daniels Midland. So what is that? So what? You mean we should get more funding like that, more corporate funding for NPR?
No, I'm just saying that it's much more middle of the road, but than the political correctness battles indicate. And if we let go of government funding, I think it would be fine, and I would contribute more, and I think it would insulate the conversation from some of the political correctness.
Yeah, Bill, I appreciate your call as well. Michael Massing, weigh in here.
One thing that, I'm listening to this, and several people brought up Fox News. I mean, I just have to point out that the debate over bias at NPR, it's so interesting in light of coming from a side that has Fox News as an outlet. And if you look at the programming there, from Glenn Beck, who claims that George Soros is trying to overthrow the government of the United States, or Sean Hannity, who devotes an hour every night to bashing anything liberal or having to do with Obama, or Bill O'Reilly or anything else, I mean, I see that network is so unbalanced and so full of bias, and yet somehow they've managed to put the whole onus on NPR, which, as the last talker just said, is pretty much down the road, middle. You know, we might have some quibbles on either side, but I just want to say it's interesting how so much of the debate is focused on NPR, while the 800-pound gorilla of Fox sort of doesn't get talked about.
If that NPR should be significantly weakened, Mark Vogelsang said it's the most serious threat he's seen. What do you see as the consequences of that, Michael Massing, for, I don't know, a national understanding of ourselves and what's going on in the world?
Yeah, as I sort of tried to say earlier, I feel that at this time, more than any, NPR does provide something of an oasis of, it's not alone, of course, but it's a shrinking sector of a rational and well-supported news and opinion, and I think we would be so diminished if it were weakened, which I think would be inevitable if the small amount of federal funding it gets is cut. I saw one figure, by the way, that the U.S. spends $1.40 per capita on public and nonprofit broadcasting in this country. So that's a pretty small amount compared to other places.
John Fund, are we really going to have a better conversation in this country if NPR ends up weakened after all this? And does the, I mean, I don't know, does the conservative camp really want it just to be tinkered with, or would rather just see it gone?
Tom, let me be crystal clear.
Okay.
I began my career at an NPR affiliate.
Well, I know that, but that was not more than a couple days ago.
Finished?
Of course.
Okay, I want NPR to be strengthened. It needs to go through the same kind of audit that the BBC went through to look at itself. Let me tell you why. Ms. Schiller left for a reason. James O'Keefe, it's reported in today's Wall Street Journal, the news pages, James O'Keefe tends to do things in segments. As Acorn, there were five segments. He has revealed that there are more segments coming on NPR. She left not because of what has happened, but what is about to happen to NPR. The scandal is not finished. NPR needs to listen to the American Journalism Review. It needs to listen to former board members like Vin Weber. It needs to listen to people who want NPR strengthened, but first after NPR looks at itself. This scandal is not over. There is more coming, and that's why Ms. Schiller left.
But it seems as though there are plenty of conservatives who, under the cover of budget cutting, would be just as happy if the NPR perspective were gone entirely. And I wonder about the quality of the American dialogue here overall, if that should be gone or diminished.
90% of the money comes from outside the federal government. You can, if 90% of the money is already there, you can raise more, as Mr. Schiller said, from foundations and listeners. You can, if you clean up your act.
Mark Vogelsang, you know, maybe it's just not worth the trouble. Maybe Americans should step up directly from their own pocketbooks, voluntarily, and support this thing. What's the downside?
Well, look, I do have great confidence in the fact that our listeners, our supporters will step up. That's been the case for 30 or 40 or 50 years. It's always been a federal match, and there may be some inefficiencies in the system that we need to address. John may be right in that area, and we need to do a rigorous examination. I think the board should do that. I think the board should look at that in a deep and substantial way. But overall, and public radio is going to continue to be strong. We've got great reporters, Lourdes in Libya, Danny Zwirling doing amazing reporting. We may have to cut back on our reporting, and that's what I worry about, and stations at the local level here in Buffalo and across the country are not going to be as strong as they could, because these are the only outlets in many of these communities to bring NPR to these communities. And 34 million Americans is pretty powerful. 170 million people using public broadcasting and public media. That's pretty amazing.
Let's get a call from Newton, New Hampshire. Fred. Fred, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What do you think, Fred?
Well, I wanted to say that I'm not your average liberal who calls in a Mr. Conservative. I voted Republican every time since 1972 for president, with the exception of 2004.
Okay.
I didn't support the Iraq War, but I couldn't bring myself to vote for Kerry either. So I'm not exactly a liberal. So having said that, I would like to say that I listened to NPR during my commutes into Boston, both going and coming. And the reason why I do so is I really don't care. You know, I've heard from a lot of people that, well, most of the newscasters on NPR are liberal and all that. I really don't care about that. What I care about
is whether the news reporting is accurate or not. And I feel that the accuracy of the NPR news reporting far surpasses any other network.
There's a huge realm of commercial stations for you to listen to that don't rely on federal funding. Why not those then, Fred?
Well, I guess it's, if I'm going to be conservative, I may as well use a financial joke. I feel like I can take the news reporting of what NPR gives me to the bank. I think that I can trust what comes to me through them. Now, I'll take that. The thing that really irritates me about most news reporting is they try to convince me of something one way or the other. And I just don't need that.
Fred, I appreciate your call, and I'm glad you're listening there. Michael Massing, where do you see this heading? There's clearly a lot more. John Fund says there may be more coming from the sting operation of James O'Keefe. The CEO out already. Big picture.
Let me just say these sting operations I find very troubling development in journalism, although it's not really journalism. It's more political hits. One was done by the left on the governor of Wisconsin, so it can be done on both sides.
The fake
so
David
that
Koch
itself
call.
Is part of the environment that we're in. And I don't know. I see NPR. I see that... the New York Times is under constant pressure too, I think, from people on Fox and the conservative blogs. And a lively debate is good, but I find that from a journalistic standpoint, this type of pressure in the long run has a very deleterious effect on the practice of good quality journalism.
Well, I've been in the business a long time, and I've seen an awful lot of good outlets for journalism go down. It doesn't seem to me as though we need fewer, but there is clearly a moment of enormous scrutiny right here. I want to thank the three of you for helping us look straight at it. John Fund with the Wall Street Journal, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. A pleasure. And I do want NPR to survive.
We'll see if we can take that to the bank if necessary. Thanks for being with us. Michael Massing, joining us from New York, Columbia Journalism Review and New York Review of Books. Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed it.
Mark Vogelzang at NPR affiliate WBFO in Buffalo, New York. It's good to talk with you, Mark. Thank you for being here today.
We're rooting for you, Tom. We're rooting for NPR here.
Heaven help us all. 800-4- we're done with that. Thanks for joining us, Mark. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.